Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about dealing with fear as part of a bigger discussion we're having about learning to deal with our emotions so we can overcome in this life. When troubles come our way, our emotions can go haywire and really get us off track in the situation. It's important that we know from the Word of God how to deal with our emotions. Now, we've covered so much ground. I'm not even sure where to start because it's already Friday here. We're going to carry some of this stuff over into next week. We've got more to say about fear and worry. Worry is a type of fear. I left off yesterday making the point that you've got to feed your faith and not what you fear. You need to feed your faith and not your feelings. We get constant input from what we see and hear that stimulates our emotions. We have to put forth effort to seek information from God's Word about reality as it truly is. And we've made the point this week that for a Christian, there is never any reason to be afraid because nothing can come against us that's bigger than God. I'm not saying we won't feel fear at certain times. We most certainly will. If you see something fearful, you're going to feel fear. We're not saying it's wrong to feel fear. It isn't wrong to feel fear. But we looked at David, who said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." When David felt fear because he was in truly fearful circumstances, he focused his attention on God. He made a decision to trust God, and he specifically said, "I'll boast in his word." We discussed all that. David would talk about who God is and what God has done, is doing, and will do. We have a tendency to talk about how we feel and what we see and how what we see makes us feel and then draw conclusions from what we see and what we feel. And it all gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's not feeding your faith. That's feeding your fears. We have this natural tendency to feed our emotions when we should feed our faith or our trust in God. Talking about what we see and what we reason based on what we see feeds our emotions. Let me give you an example of something here. It's pretty amazing. I'm just going to read one verse in Genesis chapter 42, but I got to set it up. You remember Jacob. He had the 12 sons, and the one of the younger ones, second to the youngest one, Jacob, everybody else was jealous of him, except for the youngest, Benjamin. But his brother sold him into slavery. And he ended up in Egypt, long involved story, in charge of a food distribution program during a time of severe famine. Jacob thought his son Joseph was dead, because that's what the brothers told him when they sold Joseph into slavery. The brothers, it's many years later, they don't know where he is. I mean, he's a slave somewhere in Egypt. But they go down to Egypt because they've heard Egypt has food during this famine. Well, the man in charge of the food distribution program was their long-lost brother, Joseph. Now, the brothers didn't recognize Joseph when they got to Egypt, but Joseph recognized them. You remember that. He put him through a series of tests to see if their characters changed. But one of the things he did was he kept one of the brothers, Simeon, in Egypt, and he demanded that they bring the youngest brother, Benjamin, back to him to secure Simon's release, or Simeon's release, as well as more food. So they go down to Egypt, they get the food they need, but Joseph takes Simeon captive and says, "I'm not letting this guy go until you bring your youngest brother Benjamin to me." Well, the brothers go home and they tell their father about what has happened. Good news, bad news, Dad. Good news, we got food. Bad news is we had to leave Simeon in Egypt. This guy running the food program took him captive. And we can't get him back unless we take Benjamin down there as well. And we can't get any more food unless we take Benjamin down there. Well, listen to Jacob's response to this. This is Genesis 42, verse 36. And Jacob their father said unto them, they've told him the story and the situation. And Jacob their father said unto them, me you have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Jacob's response was, everything is against me. I lost Joseph years ago. Now I've lost Simeon in Egypt. And now I'm going to lose Benjamin. Everything is against me. But you and I know how this story is going to turn out. In reality, everything was actually going very well for Jacob. It didn't look like it in the moment, granted. But in reality, everything was going extremely well for him. He wasn't going to lose any sons. He was going to get Simeon back. He wasn't going to lose Benjamin. And he was actually going to be reunited with Joseph and end up with a home in Egypt through the rest of the famine so he'd have plenty of provision for his family. Everything was going well for him. Now, hold that thought. Early in Jacob's life, before he ever had kids, when he set out to go and travel and find the woman who became his wife, God made some very specific promises to Jacob. In Genesis 28, remember, Jacob went to sleep and he had this dream of a ladder coming down from heaven to where he was and angels going up and down and God spoke to him. There's a lot in that, but let me just read one thing. This is Genesis 28:15. And behold, I, God, am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Right at the get-go, as a young man, when he's just beginning the adventures of life, God said, I am with you, and I will keep you until I fulfill all my word to you. I'll bring you back to your land safely. Now, let me jump over to Genesis 49. At the end of his life, on his deathbed, this is what Jacob said about his life. Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16, he's been reunited with Joseph and he sees he's got grandkids and he's given his deathbed blessing. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all the days of my life until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. These lads. In other words, at the end of his life, he was able to look back over it and say, God fed me. That word is actually shepherded. It's bigger than just feed. He guarded me. He guided me. He led me. He took care of me. He met my needs. He delivered me from all harm. In other words, we have God's promise at the beginning of Jacob's life, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to care for you. I won't leave you until every promise is fulfilled to you. We have Jacob at the end of his life who can look back over his life and say, God was faithful. He kept his word. And then we have him in the middle of his life here in Genesis 42, where he gets the message that Simeon's in Egypt and we got to take Benjamin down there. And his reaction is, everything is against me. Well, think about this for a moment. What if in the middle of his life there, when his sons told him, the guy in Egypt has Simeon and we got to take Benjamin down there. What if Jacob had boasted or rejoiced in the face of this news that his sons brought him from Egypt? What if he had boasted, you know what, this is horrific, but God promised me he would stay with me and keep his word to me, not abandon me. He will get us through this. He will find a way to make it through. What if he had boasted? What would it have done for him to encourage and strengthen himself? Now, God helped him anyway in that situation because this is the redemptive family and they got to survive. That's a whole can of worms for another day. Jesus is coming through their line. But in other words, in the face of trouble, instead of feeding his faith in God and God's word and promise to him, with God's word and promise to him, he fed his fears. He fed his trepidation. He fed his anguish. David wrote Psalm 23. Remember Psalm 23? He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He said he wouldn't fear because his shepherd was with him. That doesn't mean he never felt fear. There were times when he felt afraid. But as we looked at this week, when David was afraid in the face of fearsome circumstances, he proclaimed reality as it truly is. God is with me. God is for me. Therefore, I have no reason to fear. This isn't bigger than God. David understood that just because you don't see something happening doesn't mean nothing is happening. Just because you can't see God with you doesn't mean he's not with you. Just because you can't see God working in your situation to provide for you and deliver you doesn't mean he's not working in your situation to provide for you and deliver you. It just means you can't see it. See, David knew how to look past what he could see, the fearful circumstances, by remembering God's word. Let me read you one verse from Psalm 23, verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, that verse used to really bother me. David said, "Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." I used to wonder, why doesn't he say, "Goodness and mercy is with me all the days of my life"? Because I don't need it following me, I need it with me. Why did he say it's following me? Well, it's because there are times in life when you cannot see evidence of God's help and provision, yet you know it's there, and that at the right time you will see the results of his goodness and mercy with you. When David was hiding from Saul, he knew that goodness and mercy were with him, and he'd boast about God's word, and God got him through until he got him out. And once David was out, David could look back and see that goodness and mercy had been following him. See, David understood that, and he proclaimed God's goodness before he saw it, and he was strengthened and encouraged in the face of fearsome circumstances. When he looked back at his life, David, like Jacob, could see physical proof that God had been with him. And unlike Jacob, David knew how to feed his faith and not his fear in the face of trouble. That's what you and I need to do. Now, you can't pull this out of a hat. This is not a gimmick to try when you get in trouble. Boasting in God, rejoicing in the Lord, comes out of your perception of reality. Your perception of reality has to be changed to the point where you see God is with you and for you and helping you. More next.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.